Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Beamer in for Bowerly. You won't believe what just happened. I went to go get a Snapple because I'm trying to have less energy drinks. I went to go get a Snapple out of the vending machine. And the door on the beverage vending machine is stuck. And it's going, while it's trying to open. So I'm without my beverage. I'll go try again at 3:30. I thought I'd pass that along. Also, did you hear about these eye drops that are being recalled? There are Ezra Care Artificial Tears in Delsim Pharma's artificial tears, and artificial eye ointment, both over-the-counter brands, have been recalled from shelves because they've been linked to 68 cases in 16 states of Pseudomonas, I don't know what that word is, an extensively drug-resistant bacterial infection. Now, have you seen the pictures of some of this? Of people whose eyes have just, I'm trying not to get too graphic here, but it's infected people's eyes to the point where their eyeball just, it's just gone. It's like, I can't even explain it because I don't want to get too, graphic, but patients who use the artificial tears have experienced symptoms of eye infection, including ocular discharge, pain, blurry vision, obviously urge to seek immediate attention. There have also been people who have had their eyes removed, okay? Someone had a massive corneal ulcer and then had to have their eye removed. As someone who's had eye issues, and we've talked about that on this show, as someone who's had eye issues, like anything with the eye just freaks me out because I've told you guys about my procedure and the thought of having to go through that again is a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. So eye pain and tooth pain are two of the worst pains I think I've experienced. Maybe that shows how blessed I've been. But those are the two biggest pains for me, eye pain and tooth pain. And if I could avoid those at all costs, I will. But I wanted to pass that on. If you have any of those products, please do not use them. They have been recalled. Get rid of them. You don't want that happening to your eye, obviously. So please, if you have that in there, get rid of it. It has been recalled. All right. Now, as I told you for the first hour, I was looking through the Times Union again. The Times Union, this is where I get, whatever bill is on the floor of the Assembly or the Senate, I can get it, and then I can talk to my guests about it. And right now, by the way, we are trying to have a few members of the Assembly on over the weekend on Sunday, so hopefully you'll tune in to Hardline for that. It probably won't match last week's Hardline. Last week was a good, solid Hardline. But don't worry. We'll do our best. As we're probably a month and a half away from Hardline taking about a month-long break. So just so you know, Hopefully you'll enjoy the show on Sunday. All right, so I was looking through this, and right now in committee is Bill A00995. That is the medical aid in dying. And this relates to terminally ill patients' request for and use of medication for medical aid in dying. Now, this is something that I think everyone in the audience has either known someone or known of someone who has gone through a painful death. I mean, it's not the most, again, sometimes you have to have uncomfortable conversations. It's not the most, you know, comfortable thing to talk about. But when you see someone who, for lack of a better term, you know, is just, I don't want to say wasting away, but just dying painfully, right? I mean, suffering to the last day. Do you think in New York State there should be the option for a mentally competent, terminally ill person to make the decision to take their own life by use of medication? 803-0930, star 930. When you hear of this, and you know, there, I believe in Oregon, it is legal. And I believe this has come up to the assembly before, has not passed. But when you hear of something like this being suggested, recommended, what do you think when you hear this? And you think of that person in your life who struggled toward the end, who suffered till the end. Do you think that those final memories would have been better for everybody if they could have taken medication to end their life? Because, you know, there are people, they get sick. They do everything they can to treat it. They can't. And, you know, it might be a very painful end. It might be your final memories of someone is them suffering. Would you like to see something like this exercised in the state of New York? 803-0930, star 930. Now, to just clarify, this is actually what the Medical Aid in Dying Act is. Medical aid in dying occurs when a terminally ill, mentally competent adult patient who is likely to die within 6 months takes prescribed medicines, which must be self-administered to end suffering and achieve a peaceful death. Lee, discussing this option as well as never starting, stopping treatment, voluntarily stopping eating and drinking. I'm sorry, I read the wrong part. Medical aid in dying occurs throughout the country, but except where it is now authorized, it is done underground and likely illegal. It is legal in 10 states and the District of Columbia. Oregon was the first state to authorize medical aid in dying in 94. New Jersey authorized in 2019. A patient must make an oral and written request on a form provided in law. The written request must be witnessed by two adults who attest that the patient has capacity, is acting voluntarily of their own volition, and is not being coerced. A patient may resend a request for medication at any time without regard to capacity. Patients must self-administer the medication. An attending physician must have primary responsibility for the care of the patient requesting medical aid in dying and the treatment of the patient's terminal illness. Now, to clarify what it isn't, medical aid in dying is not assisted suicide, according to the laws enacted to permit the practice. Consider the stark differences exist between suicides and medical aid in dying. Suicides are committed by those usually who have mental health issues, who can continue to live but choose not to, often impulsively, violently, and are tragic. To the contrary, medical aid in dying is available only to terminally ill patients who are expected to die soon. And it is through medication. So that is some of the literature that is being passed around Albany right now while this is in committee. Is medical aid in dying something you would be in support for to pass and become legal in the state of New York? 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to Ann in Gettysville. Ann, thanks for hanging on.
Hi.
Hey, Ann, what do you think of this?
I am 100% in favor of it. I think it's great, and I think it's unfortunate that it's as limiting as it is, like with the six-month mark. That eliminates the ability for people with dementia who can live in that condition for decades.
You know, I was thinking the same thing, Anne, that, you know, it doesn't go because there are people who have dementia that, you know, would say, hey, when I get to a certain point, you know, I don't want my family struggling.
Exactly. Period. That's all there is to it. So I think if this passes, it's going in the right direction. But there's got to be more, quote, inclusion, which is a term I hate at this point, but it applies.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that could benefit from it.
It's so interesting, Anne, because when I was reading this this afternoon, I thought the same thing, that this is a start. But, I mean, I think we all know people who have either dementia, Alzheimer's, and, you know, they get to a point where, I mean, they're obviously struggling because they don't know where they are. And the family is, you know, watching someone who, for all intents and purposes, is no longer with them.
Right. Yeah. The grieving starts years before the death.
Yep.
And I do think that it's more of a hardship on the caretakers, especially if they're related. I mean, as far as the patient, if they could see themselves in the future, they wouldn't want that. But as they're going through it, they're already gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Ann, I appreciate the call. Ann in Gettysville, 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to Sherry in Buffalo. Sherry, what do you think about this?
Hi, I totally agree with Aiden dying. I do also agree that they need to revise the bill because a patient with ALS cannot speak towards the end of their life and they cannot take the medication on their own. However, they are fully mentally competent to make choices. I lost my brother a couple of years ago, and it was the worst experience of our lives and the worst experience of his life. Just having to know that he was all mentally there, but his body didn't work.
Mm. And now, Sherry, in that situation, when would the medical aid in dying be practiced?
Well, with ALS, they typically give patients 2 to 5 years. I think that when it gets to a point, like I think he had it diagnosed with it. Just over 2 years, if I'm remembering correctly. It was a horrible experience, but it was towards that year and a half mark that he really lost all function.
And you think if he had this option, he would have, in the early stages, agreed, when we get to this point, I want to start taking this treatment?
He would have agreed way before he got to that point. Just knowing, doing all the research on his own, knowing what was coming, just to save his family from going through that and save himself from going through that, it would have been a much better way for him to go.
Well, Sherry, I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm thankful that you called in and shared that with us.
Yes.
Thank you, Sherry in Buffalo. And you know, I mean, this is something that many people, like I would say most in our audience, has either seen someone die, slowly and painfully die, or knows of someone whose final memories of a loved one is, you know, them going a painful way, dying a painful death. And what it would mean knowing that person didn't have to suffer till the very end. You know, I listened to people's accounts of this. I read up a lot on this before we went into the show. And, you know, people's accounts, obviously, when this is in committee, they talk to people who have experienced loss. And they talk to doctors and say what a patient is feeling with certain conditions and certain diseases. As you heard Sherry call in and talk about the end of her brother's life and you know, how she would have liked something like this. And these are the discussions they have in committee. And, you know, I hate to be cliche and use the old saying, but, you know, we are far more humane with the way we put our animals down, right? I mean, if your dog is suffering, what do? You take your dog to the veterinarian and put it down. Why must a human in their final days suffer to the very end? Why must someone who knows the end is near, who has said their goodbyes, why not give them a more peaceful death? What chance there is of that, a peaceful death? Now, there are people on the text board who disagree with this. Someone said absolutely not. And if that's you, I'd like to hear your account, because I'm sure you make some points that either haven't been considered or I have not brought up. And again, it's not the most comfortable conversation, but you can see the pain in someone's, or I'm sorry, hear the pain in someone's voice when they talk about a loved one who they had to watch die. When they talk about a loved one who struggled, who was terminally ill and struggled. I just personally believe that no one, if someone knows they're going to die and knows how it's going to get painful toward the end, I think they should have this chance to have a peaceful death. And from all accounts so far, family members, you know, want to know that they weren't in pain. I mean, we all know someone who said, I'm thankful they had a peaceful death. How many times have you heard someone say that? I'm glad that it was a peaceful death. They didn't feel any pain. That's like one of the top questions asked if someone learns a loved one died. They died in their sleep. They felt no pain. Why shouldn't everyone who's terminally ill have that option? I'm not saying everyone's going to take that option, and that is your choice to be made. But why shouldn't someone have that option to not suffer? Again, if your dog, your cat, is, you know, dying at home, what do? You take it to the vet. They put it down. 803-0930, *930, Amy in Cheektowaga. Amy, what do you think about this?
I was just thinking, you know how you have orders for do not resuscitate or things like that that you signed ahead of time while you were in the capacity to do so? Maybe something like that could be implicated so that, you know, later on, if you're in the situation like that woman just said that, you know, it takes a couple of years to die, but yet you're not able to express that, or if it takes longer than 6 months. I mean, we get to say now, you know, if I'm on a feeding tube, I don't want to be kept alive by a machine.
Right.
Why wouldn't you be able to do the same thing with that?
Yeah, Amy, that's, you know, you there's a point in that treatment where you do get all that paperwork, right? The do not resuscitate, mm-hmm. all that. Why not have something like this? Again, it would give everyone a peace of mind that when they learned of this, this was the decision that they had made. It would seem like that would just add on to the DNR, right? I mean, I don't want the machine to keep me alive. I also don't want to have to go through the most painful part of this right before death.
Exactly. It would be something easily to implicate that on the form already. Exactly.
I mean, I think, and hopefully this is a start if this passes. Now, again, it's just in committee. But if it starts, I think it'd probably be just like Amy's saying. It would be like a do not resuscitate form that you would sign when you learned, hey, you know, this, you've been diagnosed with this. This is how it's going to progress. And obviously, guys, obviously, we all hope for advancements in medication, right? Everyone hopes when a loved one is diagnosed with something that maybe something will come along that will either slow down the disease or get rid of the disease. We all hope that when a loved one is diagnosed with something that's going to slowly take them away from us, right? We all have those hopes. And if those things come up, then I'm sure you can go back and say, hey, you know, let's hold off on this. But this is about those final days, or as some of the callers are saying, maybe it should also be about those diseases that we know slowly take you away in the final weeks, the final months are the most painful deaths. 803-0930, star 930. What do you think about this? Do you agree, disagree? And do you have an account of a loved one who you had to watch suffer that this would have been so much better for them in their final days? 803-0930, star 930. It's Beamer in for Bowerly. Here on News Radio 930, WBEN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
But long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
Hey, welcome back. It is Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Just an update. We were able to get the Snapple out of the vending machine. So just wanted to update everyone on that. We are talking about this bill. I shouldn't say bill. This suggestion. Well, I don't know what to call it. It's going through committee right now. I guess it is a bill. Going through committee in Albany. It's Medical Aid in Dying Act. And it would allow those who are terminally ill and 6 months or less away from death to, and mentally competent, to make the decision to peacefully end their life with medication, obviously supervised by a physician. 803-0930, star 930, your thoughts on this? And is there a time you'd like to, that you had a loved one, a family member dying, and you had to watch them struggle, and you would have liked this to have been an option here in New York State? 803-0930, star 930, or do you disagree with it? And what are your reasons for that? Let us know. We'll start with Anne-Marie, who has been very patient. Anne-Marie, thanks for hanging on.
Oh, thank you, Joe. There's an organization here in New York State, and I'm sure it is throughout the country. It's called Hospice. And Hospice will do exactly what you just said. They will help terminally ill patients to pass in the comfort of either your home with the help of loved ones or in a facility that they have over on Como Boulevard, which is a respite center. They also, in that respite center, will take care of your loved one, if you need, if you are taking care of them and it's, you know, it becomes difficult for you, they will allow that person to come and stay at the respite center for, you know, a time so that you can get your breath back. The nurses and doctors come to the home for the person, and they are absolute angels, every single one of them.
You know, hospice care is great, and with this would just add the medication, right?
Hospice medication, and because I know with my dad, it was back in 89 when this happened, and I opted to keep him at home and take care of him until he passed. And I was provided medication, and of course, his doctor at the time had suggested this, and he went right into the program. The doctor came to the house, the nurses, any help I needed, they were a phone call away.
Yeah.
Not too many years ago, my cousin who had pancreatic cancer. Excuse me. He went to the hospice center and passed there. The family is allowed to go in. The family and friends are allowed to visit and to be with your loved one. And they have such respect for people, not only during this time, but they also have bereavement committees that help the family after.
Yeah. Anne-Marie, hospice is great. I had a experience with hospice in the early 2010s, and they're great. They provide a great service, and we are fortunate to have hospice here in Western New York.
And I really think that families should discuss this stuff. I mean, we've talked about it with our kids, and it's important to know a person's wishes. Yeah. It's important to understand where everybody is coming from and everybody be on the same page. There are so many people that don't do that, and that's what happens. That's how these problems start, and the person lingers on. And even hospice, they have rooms in hospitals now for people if their families, you know, aren't able to take care of them until they can get to Como. But I praise them to the high heavens. They are phenomenal doctors and nurses, and they're the unsung heroes in a lot of situations for families.
For sure.
So thank you, Joe.
Hey, thank you, Anne-Marie. Appreciate your call. Anne-Marie in Williamsville, 803-0930, *930. Almost said opens the line for you, Josh, but we are not. I'm trying my best. You notice I've said it less and less this week. We'll hopefully not say it at all next week because, well, I'm trying not to say opens a line for you. So we're just going to say the number, 803-0930, *930. Don on the east side has also been very patient. Don, what do you think of this proposal of medical aid in dying?
I think it's long overdue, and I think if you have any friends in Canada, you could, they can sponsor you, and you can go up there and do that right now. They allow that right now in Canada, you know.
They allow for non-citizens?
Well, you can be sponsored by somebody in Canada, a friend, I believe. I'm talking out of line here. I really don't know, but I was told years ago a friend would sponsor me. You know, in Canada, you know, similar to adopt you, and you can get away with doing things like that.
Okay.
I might be wrong, but it's something to look into.
That's...
If you have a lot of friends in Canada, and you know, hospice is great if you want to linger around for a couple of weeks, you know. But people who want results, you know, you go up there, two doctors sign for you, and euthanasia is legal up there now.
Now, Don, let me ask you, in Canada, are there the same requirements as in America? Does it have to be someone terminally ill within 6 months of dying?
Well, you have to have two doctors sign for you. Other than that, I don't know a damn thing.
Hey, Don, I appreciate the call. Don on the east side. Yeah, I do believe he is right about it being legal in Canada. Like I said, it is legal here in... Oh, Joe, you did not lose it, did you? It is legal here in... Oh, this is embarrassing. 10 states. Sorry. It is legal in 10 states and the District of Columbia. Oregon was the first in 91. New Jersey, the most recent in 2019. New York has this in committee now. And again, if you're just joining us, it's the Medical Aid in Dying Act. And what that would do is give the patient who is terminally ill and within 6 months of dying, would give them the option to peacefully die. And that would mean to take medication that they would administer. They would administer it themselves and be, watched by physicians, by medical professionals. That is the proposal now in New York, again, in committee. And if you read some of the accounts that have been brought to committee, some of the stories that have been brought to committee, it's people telling about the passing of their loved one and how painful the last few weeks are, or the last month was, not only for them watching, but for their loved one who had a painful death. That is what they are talking about right now in committee. We've had callers who said, well, why not someone who was diagnosed with dementia, saying, you know, when I get to a particular point, you know, can I take this medication? Now, that wouldn't be within 6 months, because we know with dementia, with Alzheimer's, you can live for years. Now, that's not what's proposed now at the state level, but we did have a call on that. We've had a few texts about that as well. Let's go to Jim, who's in Hamburg. Jim, what do you think about this?
My mom and my wife both died very painful deaths from cancer, and I took care of them until the end, and both of them would say constantly, gee, I wish there was some way that, you know, I could be put to rest.
Yeah.
To stop this. And if I wish something would have been there that could have helped them, and rather than sit there and watch them both suffer and die.
Yeah, Jim, that's got to be the worst. I mean, your final memory being them, you know, being probably in a lot of pain.
And asking me to please help them pass on. It's just tear you apart.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine. And, you know, like I said, I think this would give, if, I mean, like you said, people are in their final days, final weeks, they're asking for it, right? Because number one, they want to be peaceful. They want to be painless. And I'm sure they don't want you to have this lasting memory of them struggling.
Yeah, well, I promised them both that I would take care of them, and I did. So, but it's something, anybody that's gone through it knows what I'm talking about.
No, for sure,
and
Jim.
Now I'm 75 years old. I just had 5 heart bypasses. I'm diabetic, and I told my current wife, now, something like this happens to me, you just better find somebody to help me, because I'm not going to go through what my parents and my wife did.
No, understandable, Jim. Hey, appreciate the call, Jim. Jim in Hamburg, you know, I mean, that's part of this, right? I mean, obviously, it is going to be painful, and it's going to be emotional to lose a loved one. That, you can't, obviously, you're not going to take that away. But to take away some of the final suffering, you know, I really believe that would be just some peace of mind. I mean, of course, it's a sad thing, right? When a loved one is terminally ill, when a loved one has a disease that's going to take their life, it's sad. I mean, you're not going to take the emotional away from it. 803-0930, star 930, that gets you on the show talking about this proposal in Albany for Medical Aid in Dying Act. Again, it's in committee, and what this would do, if you're just joining us, is it would allow a terminally ill, mentally competent adult patient who is likely to die within 6 months to take prescribed medicines, which must be self-administered to end suffering and achieve a peaceful death. That is what's being proposed at the committee level in Albany. What do you think, and what are some of your accounts of a family member, maybe a very close friend, passing away that you would have liked to have seen this in practice instead of having to watch them suffer? And like I said before, we went to traffic in relation to Jim and Hamburg's call, you know, that emotion's going to always be there. Obviously, it's going to be emotional to watch someone die. But if you could take a month of pain away or a week of pain away, right? Someone says their final goodbyes. They've had their final talks with their family, and things are just getting worse and worse. Knowing they're going to die, why not let them avoid any more pain? Why not give them the opportunity to have a peaceful death? Now, again, there are going to be people out there that won't take it, and that's fine. You know, I think, as Anne-Marie in Williamsville said, this is something you have to discuss with your family. These are conversations, again, uncomfortable conversations that you have to have with your family. Now, right now, the way this would be, and I'm sure there would be changes made to it if it got out of committee, but the way it is the patient has to be not only able to agree to it, but also to administer it themselves. Now, you wonder, as one of our earlier callers said, what if it was like a DNR? You know, you've been diagnosed with this awful disease. You know it's slowly killing you. Can you, in legal writing, say, when I hit this point, please administer this medication so my family doesn't have to suffer? You know, we talked, the first caller that called in talked about dementia, Alzheimer's. You know, so many people have a loved one who's had Alzheimer's and has had it for years. And it comes to a point where, you know, it is painful as it is to say, that person is already gone, you know? And they're suffering because they don't know where they are, who you are. They're suffering, and the family's suffering as well. Think if that was you. Would you want your family? And there are people who would say yes. And there are people who would say, I want my loved one here. And again, that's why it's important to have this conversation with your family and to have these discussions now. But, you know, I would say this, if I were to have dementia, have Alzheimer's, if I got to the point where, when I got to the point where I didn't know my wife, I didn't know my kid, you know, would I still want to be there? I'm sure I'd be suffering. Would I want my family to suffer? Again, that answer is going to be different for every person. But I'd say right now, I'd probably tell my wife, that's when you could administer this. I don't want to drag my family through that. And I'm sure me, myself, in the state that I'm in, would be nothing but confused and suffering. What do you think? 803-0930, star 930. And if you disagree with me, please call in. I'd like to hear the opposing view on this. There are opposing views of this. That's why this, I believe, has been proposed before in New York and has not gotten out of committee. What do you think of this? What's your experience? And what's your rebuttal to it? What's your opposition to it? 803-0930, star 930. It's Beamer in for Bowerly. Back after this on WBEN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.